Welcome back to the Live AD 33 podcast, where we want to live in view of the cross of Christ and give current events eternal perspective. I'm your host, George Helowa. So I think talking about politics is hard, especially if you want to have a genuine civil conversation about it. In our current political climate, it's so volatile that people are discovering new levels of pettiness and ugliness. So I have been honestly purposely avoiding the topic because I didn't really know how I would contribute to the conversation instead of contributing to the noise. Now, partially, I'll admit I'm concerned that if I delve too deep into politics, I will start to cater to some people while also alienating others, which means I'll lose a voice to speak gospel truth to some people. But on the other hand, I remember that since I'm a pastor, I do have a responsibility to people to help guide and lead people in the world that we live in. So rather than ignore it, I tried to stick to my wheelhouse, which is taking stock of our responsibility as Christians. Because regardless of where you live, what country we live in, if we're Christians, the Bible's challenges to us are the same. So on today's podcast, I issue three challenges to Christians that regardless of where you lean on the political scale, these are things that we need to carefully consider as we head into this election season. And I hope it encourages you. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Pastor George back to give current events eternal perspective. Well, for months now, I've really tried to avoid doing anything or saying anything political. But if I really am committed to giving current events some eternal perspective, I can't avoid it. And this is the issue of the day, highlighted by the contentious debates and punctuated by the upcoming election. And every American is affected by this, and every Christian in America is affected by it. So I guess you could say that this is a political message. I hear the rally cries from both sides. It's about the Supreme Court. It's about the environment. It's about the economy. It's about the pandemic. It's about anyone else being in office. The left are hypocrites. The right are hypocrites. There's no good third option. Get out and vote. Don't vote for that guy. Don't waste your vote. Like, I won't lie. I think the candidates have two very different visions for America and what constitutes our values as Americans. And I've had the pleasure of living in the Midwest and on the West Coast. And I have seen how vast America is, both in her geography and her ideology. And I have friends on both sides of the political spectrum who are fervent supporters of their respective candidates. And that's both inside and outside the church. Now, I think Christians are pigeonholed into being supporters of only one of the candidates, but people I know who fellowship together and genuinely love Jesus are on opposite sides in this election, with many even going after a third candidate. Now, I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. It wouldn't make a difference anyway. You'd either agree with me or you'd tune me out because I didn't support your choice. And frankly, that's not my job as a pastor or a shepherd. If you want someone to tell you who to vote for, there's no shortage of people on social media who will do that for you. I won't tell you who to vote for, but I will tell you that you should vote. It's as much a responsibility as it is a right. And it's foundational for our American system of government. But if you call yourself a Christ follower, I'm going to challenge you today to do three things. First, be in prayer. The Bible teaches us to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Now, we know that prayer is the most important thing that we can do, even if we do treat it as a last resort sometimes. And at the heart of it, this is a gospel issue. We need to pray for God to work in the hearts of people everywhere because real change isn't political, it's personal. It won't come through policy change, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And do you wonder why the world seems to keep leaning in the wrong direction? Do you wonder how people can have such dark hearts and call evil good? Because they need Jesus. We wouldn't have a debate on whether or not drugs or abortion should be legal if people were being transformed by the hope of heaven. And the axiom is true that everything rises and falls on leadership. So pray for our leaders. How many times have we seen someone rise to power with good intentions and positive ideals only to seemingly change direction as the court of public opinion leaned in? So pray for leaders, even the ones that you don't agree with, because they can change. or at the very least, the bad ones can be sidelined by God for the good of all the people. Now, the Old Testament is full of bad kings who did evil in the sight of the Lord and how they took the nations down with them. But we also see in the life of people like Daniel and Esther that when godly men and women step up, the nation is blessed and preserved. One more thought on prayer. When a people stray away from God, we shouldn't be surprised when bad things happen. But this is a grace to push us back towards God before we destroy ourselves. As God told Solomon, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. Don't think for a second that prayer won't make a difference now. The next thing I would challenge Christians with is this: be morally consistent. Jesus told the Pharisees that they were hypocrites for putting their man-made traditions above the commands of God. He then quotes Isaiah's prophecy that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Don't think for a second, again, that the world doesn't know what the Bible teaches. Some unbelievers, they have more Bible knowledge than some Christians that I know. And they will call us out when we make statements or we support candidates who act contrary to our stated beliefs. And yes, the church does have a track record of ignoring moral indiscretions in one candidate that it condemns in another. And don't think that the world doesn't notice. Don't get me wrong. The world fully embraces their own hypocrisy and justifies it left and right. But that is no excuse for us. We are not of this world. And if you don't think that you have to explain yourself to unbelievers, Peter writes, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. So even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." If a candidate's public policies or private life demand you make a compromise with what the Bible teaches, consider long and hard the moral implications if you should support them. But some people have said, "We're electing a president, not a pastor." Well, there's an old saying that goes, "As the king goes, so goes the country." I once asked a young man if a former president's political position made his marital infidelity right. He said no, but that it may make it acceptable. Now, if you don't think that the president of the United States sets the moral tone of the nation, then you're fooling yourself. We are choosing a leader. Where do you want him to take you? And what kind of nation do you want them to shape? Christians need to act with moral integrity and moral consistency. Otherwise, we lose our ability to be salt and light. When we endorse candidates on any side whose fundamental beliefs are in disagreement with God's biblical standard, we are forfeiting our own moral authority in the world. So whether you lean Republican, Democrat, or somewhere else, your vote is a referendum on your view of the Word of God. I hope that we can come to a place that we can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially towards you. Finally, no matter what the outcome of the election is, regardless of whether or not your preferred candidate wins, be surrendered. Now, 4 years ago, our current president won an unlikely victory that some in the church called a miracle. His supporters celebrated as loudly as his opponents wailed. I heard a lot of comments that God has his man in the White House. But what if the election had gone the other way? Could we confidently make the same statement? In the book of Daniel, a man, consequently, whose prayer and moral consistency saw him outlast 6 administrations, we see the perspective necessary to live even when politics don't go the way we want them to. Now, speaking of God, he writes, "He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars." And God is steering this world in the direction he wants it to go in order to fulfill his ultimate ends. When that's our perspective, when we understand that nothing that is happening is ever out of God's control, it gives us peace and freedom to live wholly under God's authority, even as we may live under undesirable earthly leaders. No one gets power without God's say-so. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And since that's true, we need to follow the admonishment that everyone must submit to governing authorities. Peter wrote this, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor." Daniel was a stranger in a foreign land who, through prayer and moral consistency, rose to a place of prominent influence. He never got a vote in who was king, but he was placed by God, protected by God, provided for by God, and was given a platform to present his God because he was surrendered to God and to the authorities that were placed over him. It didn't matter who the king was because Daniel always knew who was the Lord. In the same way, we are strangers in this land. Our true citizenship is in heaven. But until we get to go home, we have been placed, protected, and provided for by God so that we will have a platform to present God to a lost world. In a way that only God can manage, our surrender always leads to victory. Well, so what? Where does that leave us? Look, you may not like the candidate who wins this election, but you have a responsibility first as a Christian and second as a citizen to be in prayer, be morally consistent, and be surrendered to the outcome of the election. Because we believe and know that the ultimate authority is God. And if I have to pick whose side I'm on, it's going to be God every time. So get out your ballot, pray fervently over it, be morally consistent in your choices with the faith we claim, and accept and submit to those who God places in leadership. They may think they've won, but they're still in God's hands. And never, never lose sight of the fact that no matter who occupies the White House, only God occupies the throne. I love you. Be safe, be wise, and God bless. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Live AD 33 podcast, where we do want to give current events eternal perspective. If you have any thoughts, if you have anything you want to share with us, go ahead and email us at livead33@gmail.com. Our music today is by Lee Rosevere. You can find his stuff online at thefreemusicarchive.org. And as always, my name is George Helowa, committed to bringing you the Word of God in these crazy times that we might walk with God and be encouraged by it and live by it. We'll see you soon.